Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something you'd like to discuss or a topic of interest, give us a call at 844-322-2742. We'd like to talk about it with you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've got 1 week until Christmas Day, right, according to tradition. We don't know the actual date that Jesus was born. Mm-hmm. You can scour the pages of Scripture, and you're not going to find December 25th anywhere.
Nope.
From Genesis to Revelation. It's just a day that I think was co-opted, basically, and said, hey, this is the day we're going to celebrate it.
Yeah.
And there's lots of reasons for this particular date. You know, some biblical scholars are thinking that, it just coincides with when Jesus died. They feel like, there's just a lot of dates that coincide, and this just makes sense.
Right,
December
yeah.
25th makes sense. As that is concerned, there was also a pagan ritual, Saturnalia, that the pagans celebrated, and the last day of that was December 25th. And when Constantine took over or made Christianity the state religion of the Roman Empire, they thought, well, why don't we pick that date and move it away from pagan ritual and invest new meaning in it, that particular date. And so when it all comes down to it, there's all kinds of things surrounding December 25th, but there's nothing that we can negate about the birth of Christ.
Right.
It actually happened just as the Scriptures describe. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. There was a historical event that caused them to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It was a census in the Roman Empire. That's been well documented. The prophecies of old talk about Bethlehem being the birthplace of the Messiah. So all of those things just work together, and Jesus was born in exactly the same way Scripture described. So it's a real story, folks. This isn't just a myth. This isn't just something that was made up in the minds of some crazy folks thinking this would be a good story to pass on from generation to generation. No, these are historical facts. Jesus became flesh and blood. He inhabited a body that God the Father had prepared for him. It was placed into the very womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit. And on a day some 2,000 years ago in the town of David, the city of Bethlehem, a Savior was born, Christ the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
Now, Matthew tells us how it took place as far as Joseph was concerned. And so I'm just going to read a little bit of that today, starting in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. Now, the first 17 verses of Matthew is the genealogy of Christ. And you say, well, why in the world would they put a genealogy if indeed he was born of a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit? He
right.
has no human father. Mary's womb was a borrowed womb, but she gave birth and is the mother, the physical mother of Jesus. But there's no father as far as that's concerned. But yet, there's this genealogy. And what Matthew is trying to show us is that Jesus, just by his physical birth, the lineage that he comes down through Joseph and Mary, gives him the rightful seat to the
throne of David.
Through the throne of David, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what the people were looking for, this person who would sit on the throne of David eternally, and the government would rest upon his shoulders. And so Matthew says, hey, here's a guy that's going to be born in Bethlehem. He fits all of the requirements.
Yeah.
He is the guy. He is the rightful heir to the throne of David. So that's why that genealogy is in the book of Matthew. But now in verse 18, he says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, so they were engaged to be married. They had not been married yet. So he was just betrothed to Joseph before they came together. So sexually, intimately, before that was consummated, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So this babe that was to be born was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So Joseph, this was going to be hard on his reputation.
Yeah, really.
It was going to be hard on Mary's reputation. So he was in a conundrum, not knowing exactly what to do, how to handle this. But he was just of heart. He wanted to do the right thing by himself, and more importantly, the right thing for Mary. He didn't want to just abandon her. He didn't want to just leave her to become an outcast in society. He wanted to protect her in any way possible. So he resolved to divorce her quietly. So that was his human reasoning. And based on everything that we know, based on his character, this was a wise decision. This right. would have been a good decision mm-hmm. both for him and for Mary. But God had other purposes. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So this wasn't just something that God was going to leave to human choice. He intervened and sent an angel to Joseph. Now, that would get your attention, and that would make you rethink your position on a particular issue. It would make you rethink how you're going to handle something. So if God sent you an angel, you're going to be stopped dead in your tracks, and you're going to say, okay, Lord, what is the best way forward?
Yeah.
And so the angel laid that out for him and said, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. That is so important for us to understand. Why? Because we as human beings are scared to death to take steps. You know, we have ideas, we think they're great ideas, and then we start to wonder, oh no, people are going to hate it. Nobody's going to like it. Nobody's going to think it's special, blah, blah, blah. And so instead of moving forward with the idea, we shrink back in fear. I remember doing that as a kid. I had this great idea for our senior prom theme. And boy, I had it all envisioned, and I had shared it a couple of times with some friends. And when our assembly gathered, I had an opportunity to lay it out, to present it, to pitch it in front of the teachers and the students. And my buddy Tom kept nudging me, and I just shrunk back in fear because I thought, nobody's going to like this idea. And man, I've regretted that day ever since. But that's how we humans operate.
Yeah.
This fear grips us, and we don't want to move forward with anything. And that's exactly what was happening with Joseph. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. This is a God thing. God's got his fingerprints all over this. This babe is from him. It's being sent from God. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. He gave his only begotten son. So she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This babe Jesus was not just a regular babe. It wasn't going to be just this cuddly little figure and is going to grow up and follow in his dad's footsteps. This was the Savior of the world that had come into the world to save his people from their sins. That's you and me, folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesus Christ grew up. He offered his body as the once-for-all sacrifice for sin. He was buried on the third day. He was raised from the dead, all for your sake. So just as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures.
Yeah.
And that's good news. And so what did Joseph do? That fear went away.
Yeah.
And he stepped forward into God's plan and said, if this is what's going to happen, I want to be a part of it. I hope that's the same for you, that you want to be a part of God's plan for your life, because I guarantee you it's better than any plan that you have.
Without question. Bob, you like to call it Basic Gospel Nation, and I think we're the good news guys, so that's that is good news.
Yes, yes.
844-322-2742, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, and I hope you're having a wonderful Christmas season, everybody, and I hope you'd pick up the phone right now and come in and be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher's here. My name is Bob Davis, and we're glad you've joined us again. 844-322-2742. And as we've said so many times, Basic Gospel is, of course, a listener-supported ministry. And without the prayers and financial support of you, our listeners, we wouldn't be here with this good news every day. But because of you, we are here. And as we have said earlier this month, we've been excited to see God work through you, His people, to keep the message of His love and grace and life in Jesus on the air and online. You are such wonderful friends, and we've entered December with a need, of course, of, as we've said before, about $157,000, and of that, we still need about $86,000 to make sure that we pay the bills, and many of you have stepped up, but we still have a way to go, as I said, through this final couple of months of the month of, couple of weeks of the month of December. So we ask you all, everyone listening, to chip in. Make a Christmas year-end gift to Basic Gospel to help us move into this new year on solid ground. Your gift of $50, $100, $500 or more will go a long way toward meeting this year-end need. So please step up one more time, friends, and let's shatter that budget need and take this message to more and more people who need to know of the love of Jesus for them, just as you have heard it. So the website, of course, is there. There's a prominent link, donate at basicgospel.net, and the phone number, of course, available 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. And any time, of course, is a good time to receive your gift of love, kind of like a birthday gift to Jesus at this particular time of year. The website, of course, basicgospel.net, and when you do, we'll send you a copy of our latest book, When God Tore the Curtain. I think it's worth a good read, Bob.
Yes, indeed. It's just the simple message, and it's a book that you can read as adults and really understand the simplicity. Oftentimes, we get bogged down by, how complicated we make things.
Yeah.
And, theologians speak in theological language, and they use these big, huge words, and you just wonder, what in the world are these folks talking about? Mm-hmm. And when you read the Bible, it's just plain and simple, the story about Jesus. And that's what this book is all about. When God Tore the Curtain, it's really just the story of Jesus. And that tearing of the curtain, what happened when he died, after he cried out, "It is finished," the curtain that divided the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, where only one person could go in, and only at one day of a year of the year. And with that, he had to bring in blood sacrifices. That was the mercy seat in there, and it was a forbidden place. Well, when Christ died, that curtain tore, which indicated access into God's presence, yeah, was made available to anyone and to everyone. And so when we go in, we find grace and mercy in our time of need. So that's what this book is all about. It's a book that will give you an encouragement to go into the very throne room of God's grace and receive grace and mercy in your time of need. So we want to put that in your hands. So make a contribution today, and we'll get that to you as quickly as we can.
We love the old King James. Says God rent the curtain in twain.
Yes.
Again, basicgospel.net. There's a big link on the front page that we would want you to click, and it will get that copy coming to you. But the important thing, the most important thing, of course, is to meet this need as we approach the end of the year. So go to basicgospel.net, click donate, or that prominent link, and about God Tore the Curtain, or you can call 844-322-2742. Well, guys, our Bob, a question from Jay. He says, "I'm studying sanctification and found a sanctification called entire sanctification, also known as a Christian perfectionism, or sometimes sinless perfectionism. In need of your help with understanding, number one, what is it? Number two, what does it look like, and how is it lived out, and how does it compare with the basic gospel or biblical sanctification?
Well, as far as sanctification is concerned, it is one of those big theological words And it simply means to be set apart. So we were under the world's control. We were under sin's control when we were lost. And now Jesus, through his shed blood on the cross, sanctifies us, sets us apart from that old way of life to experience a new way of life through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's what we've been set apart to experience. So that's simply what sanctification means. So, Bobby D., you have a pair of glasses sitting on your nose, and you're looking through them. So they're set apart. They were made for that very purpose. Yeah. And the fact that you are using them for that purpose means you've set them apart for that very use. Mm-hmm. So we've been set apart for God's use. And when we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, then we are stepping into that purpose that God has set our bodies apart for. Mm-hmm. So it's a very simple concept. It's a very simple truth. Now, sanctification, as far as perfectionism, sinless perfection, that's just an unrealistic idea, and it's a notion that's not biblical. So there's going to come a time when we're absent from the body and present with the Lord, when we have new bodies, mm-hmm. and at that point, that's sinless perfection for us. But on this side, as we are living life in these bodies that we now have, these bodies have fleshly desires, has sin living in it. And so there's that conflict between the desires of the flesh, the desires of the spirit. Now, we're going to give in to the desires of the flesh, on occasion. And that's just the way it is. We're going to have selfishness. We're going to have pride. We're going to have ego. We're going to get angry. We're going to be jealous at certain times. Those are all things that the flesh is moving us to do. So there's no such thing as far as sinless perfection. Only Jesus lived a sinless life. That's what enabled him to be the once for all sacrifice. So I think we just need to get away from that sinless perfection goal. You know, this is what we want to try to aspire to. This is what we want to achieve. And simply rest in the fact that we have been set apart once and for all for God's use. And at any given moment of any given day, we can make ourselves available to him. Mm-hmm. And if we'll just keep it that simple, this idea, this truth about sanctification will really make a difference in our lives.
Absolutely. Well, we still have time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you, friends. 844-322-2742. And if you have a question, can't get to us while we're actually on the air live, give us a call at that same number, 844-322-2742. You can record it in your own voice. Bob, a question from Lydia, who wrote to us. She says, "Hi, I just discovered your radio program and was very encouraged by the answers you gave to the questions from listeners." She says, "I'm a Christian, and I'm very concerned about my Christian faith, or Christian truth. There are many good Christian organizations that I'm familiar with, and I have read a lot of Christian authors. Sometimes I get very encouraged by a certain Christian leader or organization, and then at some point find out that something they say doesn't exactly line up with biblical truth. My question is, what is your view of Israel today? The subject of Israel is very important to me, and I would like to know your thoughts." And, of course, she is referring to Israel in end times.
In end times, and certainly in 1948, Israel became a nation again, became an entity that was recognized worldwide. And when that happened, and even before that happened, when Zionism started and people of Jewish descent started moving from their current residences to Israel, prophecy buffs really started to pay attention and thinking, well, maybe this is what Daniel was talking about. Maybe this is what some of the other prophets were talking about. Maybe this is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24 and all with the Olivet discourse. And so it sparked a lot of interest, and that interest has just increased. And so Israel has become this this lightning rod theologically.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
So, you know, we put it in the center of a theological debate, and we try to pigeonhole people based on their view of Israel in end times. So there's the preterists, and those folks are primarily Reformed in their thinking, Calvinistic in their thinking. So they would say that everything in regards to Israel has already happened, and that the new Israel is the body of Christ, that we have replaced or taken the place of Israel. So there's this replacement theology that's out there. And, you know, the preterist would buy into that. Everybody else would be very disappointed with the preterist,
yeah,
thinking, how could you think that? And why would you just negate everything that's happening historically, you know, right before our eyes? Why would you do that? Others would say that, you know, there's a lot of things that have to happen. The futurist, as far as end times are concerned, they would say everything revolves around Israel. So we better, you know, pay a lot of attention to it. And oftentimes we put the body of Christ in a secondary position underneath the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
When it comes to end times, I think that's a wrong position.
Yeah, not a good place
as
to be.
Well.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. Here's my view, and I think our view as a ministry, the nation of Israel served an incredible purpose. So it was just formed out of one man. I mean, God showed up in Abram's life and said, here's what's going to happen with you, big fella.
Yeah.
You're going to have a son. Now, you're going to be 100 years of age. You're not going to think it's even a possibility. But when you're just at your wit's end as to whether this is going to happen or not, I'm going to bring it about. And it's just going to explode your mind with all kinds of possibilities and faith. And I'm going to tell you that through this seed, through this child of yours, through this son of promise, a nation is going to be formed. And out of that nation is going to come one singular seed by the name of Jesus. And through him, the whole world is going to be blessed. So they had an incredible purpose. As far as the unfolding story of Jesus, they were the carriers of his bloodline. Now, Jesus came into the world, and he went to his own, and his own received him not. Yet to those who did receive him, they became children of God. And the Jewish leadership hardened their hearts against Jesus Christ, and so this gospel message went out to the Gentile world. And it's this season, this age that we're in right now, but there's going to be a point in time in history when the gospel is going to circle back to the nation of Israel. And as Paul wrote in Romans 11:26, all of Israel will be saved. So it's to the Jew first, to the Gentile second. Right now it's going out to the Gentiles, but pretty soon it's going to come back to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should have a really tender heart to what's going on in Israel today. We should rejoice with what's happening in Israel today, and we should hope that their salvation is very close at hand,
yeah,
just as ours is being experienced today.
Absolutely. Well, Lydia, thank you for your question. And as we've said earlier, friends, we've been very encouraged at the support that we've received this year, but we still have a way to go before the end of the year to meet that $157,000 need, with about $86,000 yet to be raised. So we encourage you, if you can, to go online today to basicgospel.net and click that link and make your donation, your Christmas gift to the Lord Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel, so that we can carry his message on to more eager hearts and ears through Basic Gospel. So again, basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Well, that's our edition for today. Thank you for being with us. For Bob and the ministry staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.